DeclaringTheKingdom.com.
I'm going to tell you about the conspiracy to deceive the very nations of the whole earth. And today's April 21st, 2019. I'm Trevor Davis, and I would encourage you to do a Google search on the origin of the name Jehovah. And after you've done that, read on the origin of the name Yahweh. And what you'll find out is that it was hocus pocus and how that name, those pronunciations were created. According to one encyclopedia, I'll read it real quickly. Jehovah in the Bible, the God of Israel, quote, Jehovah is a modern mispronunciation of the Hebrew name, resulting from combining the consonants of YH, WH, or JH, VH, with the vowels of the word Adonai, which meant Lord in English, which the Jews substituted for the proper name in reading the scriptures. Actually, it says the Jews, but the Greek translations of the Old Testament also spoke of Lord, and God did not use a pronunciation for the name of God. And the second thing, the origin of the name Yahweh, this name was suggested by Wilhelm Jansenius in the 1800s AD. So the names for God are man-made. They are not the truth. They are not his real name. And as I share this with you, there is a diabolical, sinister, devious plot to deceive. And we know the scripture says that the whole world lies in the evil one, and the devil deceives all the nations. The beast deceives the whole nations. But if you follow Jesus Christ and you are walking a crucified life in the steps of Jesus Christ, and you walk in the light as he is in the light, you have fellowship one with another, and the blood of his son will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You will not be deceived. We note the fact that the names for God have been invented and put into English translations of the Bible from the 1400s AD to the 1600s. The use of Jehovah or Yahweh have been seen throughout the Old Testament. They put them back into those places. Since they are not valid words, they cannot be God's name. Therefore, what do they represent? As you look into this carefully, you'll discover that these are actually names of other gods, unknown gods, and certainly not pronunciations that we as a disciple of Jesus should use. I'm stating that these names are truly names of foreign gods, deeply rooted in sorcery. Furthermore, Jesus himself did not know of these pronunciations, nor did his disciples. They're never used in the New Testament. Now, there are distinct and specific manners of address to the Father by Jesus, the way he spoke of his Father, and also the ways he instructed his disciples. Jesus taught his disciples to pray, "Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name." We also used other terms such as Holy Father, Living Father, and Abba Father. Jesus spoke of the Father as God and Lord of Heaven, Lord. Ultimately, these are the ways that the disciples should follow and not the extra-biblical traditions of men. There's so much sinister scheme behind all of this, as well will be outlined here as we go. Now, this is a spiritual puzzle that only God himself can solve for those who love him and trust his Holy Spirit to guide into the truth that is in Jesus. We start this important exposé from the premise that these names were created by taking consonants of the Hebrew language and inserting vowels from other words, thus making a name for God. And I have labeled this process as hocus pocus. This depicts the occultic nature of ascribing to God varying names that is indeed occultic and idolatrous. Remember, the Hebrew language was recently created 600 to 1000 AD by the Jewish scribes called Masoretes. Is there any place in scripture that one would validate inventing procedures or doctrines that did not derive from God himself? In other words, did Noah just build a boat of his own whim? Or did God give him clear, specific, intricate details of how to build the ark? Of course. How about the various temples that were created? And the tabernacle, and the offering, and the sacrifice, and the priesthood, Every single thing God said, see to it that you follow the pattern. There was that which was strange fire, as people offered to God sacrifices that he commanded not, and God struck them dead. I believe there's a message there. So we're to follow the Lord, do as he directs us. Our teaching must be his teaching. Yet herein is how the creation of Judaism, Judaismos it's called, violates the principle to this day. The answer is no one has the right to invent anything pertaining to God, especially not a name. God told Moses, I am that I am. And he said, I'm Alpha and Omega, the first and the last, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. God can't be summed up by a name, but I realize that may take you some time to process and to seek the Lord to, so you can understand that. But there's no question, as you can see, right in black and white in the dictionaries, Jehovah, Yahweh, and now all we have, all these various forms of this, so schismatic, so confused and divided. And who knows who these names truly represent. And I'm going to tell you, there is a crime that's been committed in the land by religious people. It's a scam, a total deception to lead the masses of people astray from the truth. It's hard for people to fathom that there are indeed a wicked people who are truly sons of the devil, the serpent. They are vipers. They are murderous, hateful, devious, full of corruption and filth. They're total liars. And that's why their father is the devil, just as Jesus encountered them. They disobey God. They reject his commandments and invent man-made doctrines and teach them as commandments. They hinder people from finding God and do not enter into life with him either. There's so much I could say about them, but we're going to speak out what they've done, are doing, and shall continue to do until their end comes. We know that holy men of God spoke as they were moved upon by the Holy Spirit. And Scripture is by inspiration of God. The Word of God is also known as the Word of the Lord. God speaks to our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And this is His voice. His voice and His written Word are in harmony. God does not contradict Himself, of course. The Scriptures have a history. They were written down. They have been copied over the years. And about 250 years before Christ, the Old Testament was translated into Greek. The international language known as the Septuagint. This was apparently the Bible Jesus and his disciples used. We can determine this by the way the quotes of the Old Testament read in the New Testament, which was also in Greek. And I wish to keep things simple here, but there is much to see with a detailed study of all these things. The differences between the Septuagint of the Old Testament and the Hebrew Old Testament, they read differently, and there's a reason why. And it's not good. Keeping in mind the Septuagint, which is the Greek Old Testament, is the Bible that Jesus and the disciples used. It did not use a name for God. Greek Septuagint Old Testament called God Lord and God, as we translate it into English. It's the word Kyrios and Theos in Greek. In the Greek New Testament, God is referred in the manner calling him Father, Lord, and God. God showed there was no super spiritual language as with Hebrew. God doesn't speak Hebrew, or it's to know the mind of God. Hebrew is not required. You need the Holy Spirit to know the mind of God. But see how they've twisted these things? Some are saying there's a special value to returning to the Hebrew language. They're actually retranslating the New Testament into Hebrew. They are promoting cultural Jewishness and Hebrew names, though very confusing for many reasons. The Hebrew language was reinvented 600 to 1,000 years AD, as I said earlier, by the group, the Masoretes. They invented vowels and vowel points. They inserted the Tetragrammaton, too, into the Old Testament text, even where God specifically told Moses, I was not known by that manner. but I was the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. Certainly Adam and Eve and Noah, Enoch, various people knew God personally, but not by a name. By the 1500s, there were many things taking shape that have to be realized. Okay? The Hebrew language developed again. Other ideals of Judaism were also further developed. Various Jewish writings based on Babylonian doctrines were written down as the Talmuds, the Midrash, Mishnah, all this extra-biblical stuff, strongly oriented in the occult, Kabbalah, Zohar. The development of these things, mysticism, became very popular. Secret societies came along, such as the Rosicrucians and the Freemasons. These groups are heavily grounded in the occult and Kabbalah. You can see their symbols to this day. And the emphasis on a name from such characters as John Dee, who was an alchemist, an occultist, an astrologer, of all the dark arts, even reading psychic readings and sigils and worshiping of angels and involved with the queens that were in those eras. Passed his baton to Sir Francis Bacon, very strong literary person who was also a Rosicrucian secret society member, and King James himself, a Freemason from Scotland. These things we've talked about in other videos. So if you see the picture of what's been going on and has been implemented, and now we're at the cap off at the time at the end of the age, this is where it gets really strange. During the time of King James in the 1600s, when he developed his, quote, authorized version, many of those that were involved were also part of the hidden occult influence. King James gave 15 dictates to Bible translators on how they should mistranslate. And I say mistranslate because he told them how to translate the Bible and terms and methods to use, which is totally out of order. Point three, especially using ecclesiastical terms. Now, that you would demand terminology to be used that solidified a hierarchical system, political, spiritual hierarchy, that is totally contradicts the teachings of Jesus. It's seen in the institutional church world. The King James Version used this newly established Hebrew version of the Old Testament as its basis. In other words, the Bible for Jesus, known as the Greek Old Testament, the Septuagint, was rejected for this new Hebrew translation of the Masoretes. And that's why when you read the New Testament, and you will see errors and even differences between what the Old Testament says and the quotes of the Old Testament in the New Testament. It's because the New Testament is based on the Greek manuscripts, and the Bible translations typically are using the Hebrew Old Testament. The Masoretes were not believers in Jesus Christ. They deny him. They made changes to the text to diminish Jesus, even prophecies that demonstrate the fulfillment of Jesus being the Messiah. They were changed. There is an agenda. So why would King James desire a translation of the Old Testament that was not in harmony with the older, more established Septuagint Greek version of the Old Testament? And then why would the subsequent Bible translations of modern times do the same thing? Keep in mind, names were inserted into the Bibles for God that are not his real name. Secondly, whose names are these? Jehovah, Yahweh, etc., etc. They even changed the name of Jesus to Yeshua, Yehoshua, Yahshua, etc., etc., and on and on. I want to make sure I'm calling on the right name, because there is no other name given under heaven by which we might be saved. See the diabolical nature? Over the last 10 years, there's been a growing heretical sway into Judaism. They were called Judaizers in the time of Paul, known as the Jewish Roots and the Hebrew Root Movement, as well as the Sacred Name Movements. They're very schismatic, and they have many forms and shapes. Nothing is new under the sun, okay? From the earliest days of the assembly, which typically is called church, there have been those who secretly come in by stealth to bring in damnable heresies and even Jewish myths that turn away from the truth. They promote the law of Moses and various pronunciations for God's name and on and on. All of this contradicts the purity and the simplicity that is in Jesus. Paul was well acquainted with religion. The errors of the, quote, fathers and elders, unquote. He himself was deceived, very deceived, to the point he persecuted and injured Christian disciples, our brothers and sisters. But God had mercy and grace on Paul, and the Lord Jesus completely changed him and taught him by the Spirit of truth. But Paul warned of the system. He urged, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. That's in Philippians 3. This is what Paul left behind, counting it all but dung and loss in order to win the excellency that's in Christ. Let's look at this from a spiritual perspective. The history. The Bible prophesied about the builders that reject the cornerstone, which is Jesus. But they're building. They have built and they can continue to build. And they are. It's in the world realm of religion that speaks and talks of God but doesn't know him and doesn't obey him. They're disobedient to the word. They do the very things that he says not to do, like calling themselves rabbis or calling themselves by any name to exalt themselves over the brethren. They establish it, incorporate it, create it, run it like a business, merchandise the gospel, and merchandise the people. And they name brand it, incorporate it, and on and on and on. This is what we have to remember. They build in rebellion the work of their own hands. It's not a spiritual work that God builds. And there's a difference. They crucified Jesus. They killed all the prophets. They stoned the ones sent to them. They invent religion called Judaismos, Judaism. Ismos is an ism. Ism is the creation of ideology, practices, as in with a movement. They're a dime a dozen to this very day. Paul came out of this and referred to it several times in Galatians 1:13 and 14 and 1 Thessalonians 2 verses 14 and 16. The children of Israel have a long history of idolatry. From Moses through to this day, they worship the stars of heaven to the images of stone, wood, and metal. In fact, God told them through Jeremiah that they had more gods than they had cities and more altars than they had streets. Jeremiah 11:13. And when Moses was in the mount with God, they rose up to play and worship a molten image, a calf. And they said, "This is the God that has delivered you from Egypt and done all these marvels." How offensive to God. God wanted to destroy him right then and there and make a great nation. But Moses intervened. Alas, though, they served a purpose for God because they crucified his only begotten son, Jesus. And God has, through Jesus, made a great nation of every kind, every tribe, every people, every tongue, which he promised to Abraham in Genesis 12. It's not a natural state of Israel. That's the lie they've pulled off. And that's the lie that's being published through the churches today. There's neither Greek or Jew, bond or free, or male or female in Christ. We're one in Christ by faith. There are so many gods, so many lords that they invented with deep occultic methods of incantations of enunciating these things in Hebrew. This is what John Dee did. This is what Aleister Crowley did. Madame Blavatsky speaks of these things. And the Tetragrammaton is center and core to this belief system of idolatry. The worship of gods and angels and other forbidden things are promoted through the Kabbalah and the Talmud of the Jews. It's a philosophy that leaves out God and hates his son, and it's determined to rule the world. And that's why we see the signs of the pyramids on everything, even in churches. But they've pulled it off by having one inserted in the Bibles, the very names of their gods. The scriptures declare in the Old Testament many things regarding the Christ. Jesus is that Christ. He suffered at their hands and was rejected. So many details outlined right down to the vinegar they gave him to drink, piercing his hands and feet. A text they changed in the Hebrew Masoretic text written in the 600s. It's diabolical. They have an agenda. They've succeeded in many things through the subtlety of the serpent. They've manipulated the Bibles. They have infiltrated the churches. They have agents bringing in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. They are bewitching the unsuspecting churchgoers to follow another gospel, a different Jesus named Yahshua or Yeshua. Again, names that have not been proven any validity. There's no name given among men which we might be saved. And at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Take heed, ladies and gentlemen. Watch your mouth. Watch your confession. They're tempting to make you forget the name of the Lord and to use other gods' names. Thank you.